One of the realities of following the lectionary is that we follow the lectionary. And sometimes it takes us places that we would rather not go. Scriptures that I wouldn't ordinarily preach on. And we've been given a little heaviness this morning, haven't we? Thanks to the author of Lamentations, which has been presented to us by the three-year cycle of readings that we do follow. We'd rather something a little more upbeat, and yet we get it. Things are not what they should be. And sometimes we just need to say that. Lamentations certainly would agree. You know, I think we can live the Christian life or be sort of told to live the Christian life in such a way that we affirm the many wonderful aspirations that we have, which are good, but in a way that denies the truth of what's really going on around us sometimes, or has gone on in the world around us, or in our lives. And the biblical witness says to us, that's not okay. We want success, we want the absence of pain, we desire fulfillment and meaning, and we're in the habit of rehearsing all of these things within the context of our Christian understanding. Ultimately embracing the resurrection, sometimes though without acknowledging the cross. And I think a lot of our Christian world is like that. And that's what many people think faith is all about. Keep it upbeat. Be happy. You know, there are actually places where they tell the music team, do not choose any songs in a minor key for worship. They're not allowed to do that. I know Hillsong did that for many, many years. The opposite of that, a hopeless despair, is also not the answer for us. Instead, we are called to speak truth, to be authentic, and to affirm that there is hope all at the same time, ruin and redemption existing in the same moment, lament that is both public and sometimes private. This is what we find in the Psalms, where almost a third of the material there deals with lament. It's also in the prophets. Lamentations, which we have today. We see it in Jesus' own words and in Paul. An honesty that is courageous to portray reality, even as it trusts in the power of God to redeem and transform. Dr. Graham Cole recently preached a sermon on one of the lament psalms, and I commend that to you. It's June 30th. You can go back and listen to that on our podcast. So I'm building on that. Today I want to say a little bit more both about lament, but also how we can walk with others who are in places of pain. The other night, Susan and I watched the movie Ordinary People, which, if you've seen it, I mean, it's been out, almost 40 years. It's based in Lake Forest. Susan took me to see that film when it first came out, and I went kicking and screaming, and I fidgeted through the whole thing, because I just thought, movies are to escape, and this was pulling me deeply into a place of pain, and I just didn't want to be there. And you know what? It took me a lot of years. I just needed more maturity, right? Dear, I just needed to grow up. But I also needed to be more honest about my own pain and own situations of people. And I really had resisted that. Now I can watch it with more insight and sensitivity. In fact, I started it. It was on, I think it was on Netflix, so we just watched it. And I said, we'll shut it off when it gets bad, you know, we'll turn it. And we watched the whole thing right through to the end. I mean, if you've not seen it, or just let me remind you, it's about a son, a teenage son suffering because his brother was killed in a boating accident that he was also involved in. A mother who is closed off and only wants to get on with the good things of life. A father who's sensitive and caught between them. And a gifted counselor who helps the son to find a redemptive way forward through honesty. Acknowledging pain and guilt without burying it. You know, that movie had quite a legacy. You know, many people sought out vocations of mental health counseling because of that film. From my high school days in the 70s, I didn't know people who went to counselors except who had tried to kill themselves or done something really, really terrible. And basically, they went to a psychiatrist and got medicine. And to see that counselor in Highland Park do that work, it was just like, anyway. Sometimes our Christian culture has told us that we should be like the mother in that film. Only say what's good. Be upbeat. Deny the pain because Jesus has paid the price after all. Emotional control. And, you know, I admit it's tricky, right? Because despair is not faithful, but neither is denial. Neither is denial. In my Christian radio days, we played a song at one point that Rich Mullins wrote called It's Hard. I don't know if you know this song, but he says, basically the idea of the song is it's hard to live like Jesus. It can't be hard to live like Jesus. He said, I'm a good Midwestern boy. I don't cheat on my taxes. I don't cheat on my girl. I have values that would make the White House jealous. Different White House, mid-90s. But he says, sometimes it's hard to be like Jesus. We would actually have people call the radio station and say, you shouldn't play that song because that's a negative confession. In other words, they were coming from a theological position, I think, related to prosperity gospel that said, you never say anything negative like that. You should always be positive. It's not hard to live like Jesus. It's easy. Just let the Holy Spirit do it, and what's the problem? But we need to be able to sing, it's hard, at the same time singing, it is well with my soul. And how can we do that? We can learn to do that or grow in that because as Christians, those who follow the risen Lord who was crucified, we can acknowledge pain and also hope. Sometimes in the same moment, hopefully in the same moment. Lamentations is a wrenching cry of the soul in response to a national calamity. This isn't just personal here, this is national. And in Lamentations, there are only five poems, and they're along the lines of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. They respond to the destruction of Jerusalem and to the carrying away into exile of many key leaders of the nation. And Lamentations pulls no punches. It doesn't hide its pain and its agony. And if we're honest, it's hard to read. Just like it's hard to watch someone in the throes of deep grief. We want to turn away, but we can't. There's desolation here. There's anguish. There's bitter weeping and emptiness. And we can relate the suffering of daughter Zion to the many injustices in the world around us that we need to lament, I think. This is not foreign to us. We know that things are not right. And lament gives us the permission to say it, to name what is wrong, what is out of order in God's world. And it's this very act of naming the injustice and wrong and hurt that can prepare the way for healing, as long as we don't deny the important and honest work of lament and the hope that we know in Christ. We live in a culture of denial, really. That's the typical response to atrocity or trauma. Just get it out of our minds and move on. Judith Lewis Herman, who has written on trauma and recovery, she said this is the meaning of the word unspeakable. It's really what it means, is you can't talk about it. Amnesia and denial help people to move forward in the short term, but when crises are past, they constrict hope, they cut off energy, they deplete life, they abort lives of praise, as Kathleen O'Connor observes. In other words, we have to be honest about what's going on, about the suffering experienced. I read an interesting news article this week about the plantations around Charleston, South Carolina, that welcome visitors. And Susan and I went on one of those tours once. I can't remember which house it was. And that most of them do not talk about slavery. Most of them present the plantation house as a home and what the family did and so on. And, oh, yeah, there's the little shacks out back, but, you know. One of these plantations has now begun to make the focus of the tour slavery. And what was really going on in these plantations and how it is that the owners were able to live the lifestyle that they did. And people are not happy. One of the docents said that much of what she hears is people who say, well, it wasn't that bad. They got a place to live. They got food. And she's like, really? Do you know what really went on? Do you have a sense? In other words, we've pushed it down in our national memory. O'Connor says that Lamentations, this book, practices truth-telling. It refuses denial and reverses amnesia by inviting readers into pain and affliction in all of its rawness. I don't know about you, but this was never encouraged at my house growing up. You know, if I went to my parents and said, I just want to lament a little bit about you guys, that never worked out, right? We didn't lie. I mean, we weren't told to not tell the truth, but we learned that, you know, it's just better to be able to say something good or just be quiet. And I have to say that there's wisdom in that in many situations, especially interpersonal ones. You don't have to say everything you know. But when there's been a real deep wrong committed, or someone has experienced loss and grief, for our very survival, we have to be honest about that. And the scriptures model that for us. The scriptures can often lead us into lament. It was actually a friend of mine many years ago who encouraged me to be more honest in my prayers. He said, do you think God can't take your honesty? And I heard this because of the way he prayed, and I thought, I don't know, man. And at first it made me uncomfortable because I always fashioned my prayers, I don't know if this makes sense to you, but I always fashioned my prayers to God as if my parents and teachers and everyone I felt I wanted to please was listening in. They were very stained glass prayers. Gradually I learned the value of lament before God, and that a lightning bolt didn't strike me when it got a little raw. God can take it. Sometimes we can't, but God can. Let's look again at these first two verses and just see what's there. How deserted lies the city, once so full of people. How like a widow is she? And this is the idea of someone who has no help or support anymore. Once great among the nations, she was queen among the provinces, has now become a slave. Bitterly she weeps at night. Tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, there's no one to comfort her. All her friends have betrayed her. They have become her enemies. This is speaking the truth. But real lament is pain with mercy. It's not just complaint. It's not just us saying what's wrong, right? Or what we feel is wrong. It's pain with mercy. It holds together the present suffering, whatever that is, along with hope. And we see this as the poems of lament turn a corner. And chapter 3 encourages us, calls us to remember the great love of God, the compassions of God that do not fail, that are new every morning. And as we hope in the Lord, we know his goodness. We know the goodness of God. Lament is raw honesty that is lashed to the mast of God's faithful character. I'll say that again. Lament is raw honesty that is lashed to the mast of God's faithful character. It holds on for dear life. And on the other side of pain, only on the other side of pain, do we understand that it was God actually holding us. That is the nature of lament. It offers us gifts that denial cannot. Philosopher Nicholas Waltersdorf, who is worshipped at Redeemer, actually, in writing a book of lament following the death of his son, who died in a mountain climbing accident at the age of 25, he said this, I shall look at the world through tears, and perhaps I shall see things that dry-eyed I could not see. And Josh Larson affirms that lament is really full of hope. Christian lament is not simply complaint. Yes, it stares clear-eyed at awfulness and even wonders if God is gone. Yet at its fullest, biblical lament expresses sorrow over losing a world that was once good alongside a belief that it can be made good again. Lament isn't giving up, it's giving over. When we lift up our sorrow and our pain, we turn it over to the only one who can meet it, and that's God. So we have that in Lamentations for us today, that raw cry to God in the midst of knowing God is good. The second thing I just wanted to talk a moment about was what it is to walk in lament with others. Because the opportunity for all of us, and also I think a pretty deep challenge, is learning to walk with others in their pain, their lament. I mean, how many times have you shared a grief or a loss with someone only to have them in a very well-meaning way to you tell you to look on the bright side, right? Or after some time, isn't it time you got over it? You need to move on. And you know, eventually, hopefully, that is what happens. But when we work with others, we do that with compassion, mercy, and truth when we walk with them. And as a church that desires to offer healing, this is important for us. Sure, we lead people, including ourselves, toward healing and wholeness, but we also learn to sit with people in the midst of their pain and their suffering without being dismissive. I'm talking about personal lament right now, primarily. Sometimes that means just being silent, offering our presence. Sometimes it's words of perspective and hope, but we better be deeply committed to the relationship before venturing into those areas, right? Because when there's pain in people, we tend to pull away from them. It's part of our culture of denial. We don't know what to say, or we say things that would have been better left unsaid. But it is what it means for a community to grieve when one grieves and to rejoice when one rejoices. I think Paul does something really interesting in this second letter to Timothy, because he invites Timothy into this tender relationship that he has with him in a deeper way. He says, don't be ashamed of me because I'm in jail, or I'm in prison, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Now, it's true, not all suffering we experience is in the name of the gospel, and we need to be clear about that. Sometimes it's just situations around us. Sometimes it's stuff that happens in the world. Sometimes it's decisions we make. But here he's inviting Timothy into this place of suffering that he knows, that Paul knows. Paul is modeling vulnerability here that I think would be rather unique in today's models of leadership. He's saying, Timothy, I'm suffering. I was appointed an apostle, and that's why I know this suffering, but there's no shame in it, and I want you to join me as well as one who suffers for the sake of faith. I mean, that is lamenting, if truth in a way, but saying, be a part of it. Join me in that. Paul's being very open. People who think Paul's kind of closed off just need to read a little more, I think, because it's not. There's this great relationship. In fact, he even says it to me. He says, I remember your tears. In other words, when I left you, you were weeping. And sometimes that's part of what it is to serve God, is to go through tears because of separation and so on. But I invite you into this suffering because it's Christ is victorious. I mean, what would it mean for those of us who lead and mentor to invite others into the pain and suffering of leadership? Pull back the curtain. Say, why don't you take a look at this with me? To trust enough to say, this is what it's really like sometimes. Can this kind of lowly servanthood be modeled as well in those who come alongside the ones who lament? Who can sit with the oppressed and the downtrodden and the lowly, offering the quiet gift of faith, the faith like a mustard seed, rather than platitudes and pious pronouncements. Now, Paul suffers against the backdrop of what God has done in Christ. He's very clear about that in what he writes. Verse 12, he says, I know whom I believe, and I'm convinced that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. Yeah, there's suffering here, but there's another story. There's a bigger story. There's the hopeful story. Because Christ is the one who has destroyed death. And he reminds Timothy of this foundational truth. He leads Timothy to hope. He calls him forward. Recently, a friend of mine experienced the loss of a lot of really precious personal items through a flood in his basement. He lost a jazz collection that he has been putting together his whole adult life, and he's in his early 60s. Art projects from their children, all the years through school, letters, photos, memorabilia, all kinds of things from a lifetime lost. And he reached out to us, a small group that know him and care for him, to basically pour out his heart about this. And you know, there's a tendency to say, it's just stuff. I'm glad no one did that. No one did that. I was proud of these guys. We mourned with them. And in the end, he said, you know, thank you. You were not Job's comforters. By the way, scholars have just determined that Job's comforters were first-year seminarians. I don't know if you saw that or not. Apologies to those of you who are. But. Lament is important for us to offer when needed, but also to receive, to give witness to come alongside, to offer ourselves. Sometimes, you know, that's really enough is just be with people and say, I'm not going anywhere. To be a present reminder of the hope and goodness of God and his compassion. Anton Chekhov wrote a short story called Lament. Sometimes it's called Misery. And it's about an old man who drove a cart and horse through the town for hire. And his son, in that week, his son had died, and he was longing to tell this, to unburden his own pain and suffering to someone else. And a man waved him down and said, I need to be taken across the town. And so he gets on the carriage and he starts and he says, well, how are you? And the driver says, I need to tell you that this week my son has died. And he says, you know, can we get on with it? I'm really kind of in a hurry. And he gets to the other side of the town and another man gets on and says, I need to be driven this way. And the driver says, can I share with you something? I lost my son this week. The man looked at his watch. I really need to get to that meeting. Finally, the man goes back to the stables, and he takes his horse, his only companion, and he gives him some food, oats, whatever. He says, I need to tell you, my son has died. And he shares the whole story with his horse. Because there was no one there to listen. There was no one to take that pain and to walk with him. I think that's why God gave us horses and dogs and cats. Sometimes, right? I'm glad my dog can't talk and repeat the things that have been said to him. Just a few little things to take with us today about walking with people in pain. Can we be those who are willing to listen? I think we want to be, to help shoulder the pain of others, to carry a cross for someone else for a while so that healing might come. First, just listen. Be available to listen, to be present. Offer the gift of your presence, non-judgmental, non-anxious. That's a discipline. Some of us are better at it than others, but we can all grow in it. We can all learn to be that person. Secondly, be a witness to the truth of God's mercy and compassion. In other words, be a hopeful companion. Sometimes we get pulled into people's suffering. We get sucked in, and we just kind of become an echo chamber for them. Oh, you're right. It sucks to be you. It's terrible. You know, that's our role is to be able to come along and say, okay, yeah, that's really hard. But then to model compassion, to model mercy. Thirdly, help those lamenting over time over time that is, measure their lament against what is true. Because sometimes, you know, lamenting our emotions is in a personal situation, we might miss a larger reality. Maybe there are other things going on. Maybe there is another part of the story. These kind of things can help people to walk through lament, which after all is to be a place of transition, not a home. Not a home for us. The writer of Lamentations says, "Yet I call this to mind. Yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope." God's compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.